Chapter 11, Public Perception, Working on Empathy. Most of the families that I've experienced in child protection have mental health problems, chemical abuse problems, and family histories of abuse and neglect. I have yet to encounter a family that had only one or two incidents that brought child protection into their lives. Almost all my cases have had mental health issues. It is not hard to feel some empathy for the parents as well as the children. The only time I remember actually crying in a courtroom was when I removed a child from a mentally challenged woman named Louise. It is an intimate setting at a table with the judge, a social worker, and Louise. She was a lovely woman struggling to have a normal life. Louise didn't use drugs or alcohol, and she was borderline able to care for her child. Her problems became more serious as it became apparent that her one-year-old son was a special needs child, and Louise suffered from an inability to control her anger. She lived with a family that had agreed to teach her life skills. Louise just could not master the skills necessary for keeping her son safe. Removing the child was the right thing to do. She went on to have other children, and I became a regular figure in her life. Over 6 years, several other children were taken from her custody. I have never met a person who worked as hard as Louise did to learn the work of parenting, or was more concerned about being a good parent. Most of her problems had to do with the special needs of her children she was simply unable to address. I have never struggled as much with making these difficult decisions as I did with taking Louise's children from her. Her case kept me awake many nights. It hurts me to hear otherwise good folks denigrate the tragic individuals who have their children taken from them. I don't think that most of us would say the tough things we say or think the mean-spirited things we think once we have come to know the misfortune of people who lose their children to the county. I have changed my view since I became a guardian ad litem. When mothers do terrible things to their children, it is not generally because they are terrible people and they need to be punished. Mothers do terrible things to their children because they are mentally ill or suffering from the same kind of abuse they are visiting on their children. A tragedy occurs. A baby is found in a dumpster, or a 14-year-old boy randomly shoots someone. The public is quick to seek justice. We are becoming a nation of very little empathy. No matter that her stepfather abused the 12-year-old girl for years, or that the boy was tied to a bed in a room and sexually abused by his father from the ages of 3 to 7, the public sees the highlights of the story on TV, but not the events that led up to it. The children involved in the TV story have histories that prompted the early pregnancy or random shooting. Because so many of us accept snippets of TV coverage of complex stories as the story, we are unable to understand and evaluate what needs to be done to solve the problem that caused it. We don't take the time to investigate, and it's easier to assign blame than to solve complex problems. In some ways, we are treating the issue of child abuse like we treated alcoholism and clinical depression in the 1970s. We don't like to talk about it, and we would prefer not to know about it. This type of thinking ensures that the issues will fester and get worse. In the 1950s, before Social Security payments adequately supported seniors, older Americans were the neglected segment of the population living in distress and poverty. The media picked up on senior citizens eating dog food out of cans and living and dying under bridges. Once public attention was brought to the plight of poverty-stricken seniors, public outrage got the attention of lawmakers with great results. Over a 5 to 10 year period, people called their legislators. ARP became a viable lobbying arm. Social Security became a real safety net, and seniors were taken care of much better than before. The public is not clamoring for more information about child protection, personal histories of the people involved, or the court system that manages child abuse. There is little media coverage of systems that work properly and do their jobs well. There is substantial coverage when tragedy strikes and when systems don't work. The public is quick to seek justice and to place blame on the guilty. Afterwards, there is little investigation and few discussions about how we might improve the systems that cause the problems. There isn't much interest in the topics related to children's issues, so not much is reported. Still, the underreporting of fetal alcohol births and mental health issues of children within our schools and justice system shocks me. The fact that the nation's schools reported an average dropout rate of less than 5% for many years, when actual dropout rates were closer to 40%, should outrage people. The fact that 50 to 75% of juveniles in the juvenile justice system have diagnosable mental illnesses should cause us alarm. Was the media failing to report these important facts? Or are we that uncaring about children's issues? Before I did this research, I recall seeing the high school dropout statistics story reported on Frontline, public television, and in the newspaper. It is my observation that the average citizen is not concerned enough about children's issues to know, or want to know, about how to solve them. Why the media have not shown up in the states where child protection has become open to TV, newspapers, and radio is a sad reflection on what matters to us as citizens. We live in a fast-moving and busy society that values shiny things and sports figures and doesn't have much attention for the broken parts of our communities. Until the pain is so great that it affects us in our suburban homes, we are too busy to address the issues. The press has a fundamental obligation to attend to public issues, like dropout rates, mental health issues, and what happens in the child protection system. We must draw attention to the seriousness of the issues at hand. The statistics and stories of this very troubling part of our society must be brought to the attention of our policymakers. Somehow, funding for education has become a questionable endeavor, rehabilitating criminals a waste of money, and mental health issues for abused and abandoned children are not worth discussing. Without public support for the issues, there is no discussion. If no one brings it up, it is not an issue, and politicians avoid it. By continuing to ignore the important discussion of public policy concerning courts, institutions, and the human beings within them, we undermine the very thing that has made America a great and powerful nation. We are an educated, motivated, and efficient workforce that has built the most powerful economic engine in the world. By ignoring this discussion, we are heaping huge costs and inefficiencies on top of policy failures that are socially costly and a great detriment to our quality of life and international respect. We, the public, have become far more enamored by the personal habits of sports figures and rock stars than we are concerned with the people and events that rule our lives. As a nation, we have become bored with the mundane affairs that determine the quality of life in this nation. What states do the best job at removing abused and neglected children and finding those children new homes? What states do a good job helping the parents recover and return their children to them? What states pay the least attention? With the absence of media coverage for the issue, who could possibly know? The records exist, and we need to know. The reality is that most states need to invest more into training their workers and create greater resources for the children and families they deal with. Once they develop their programs, they will discover more difficult, disturbed, and medically fragile children who need help. States will also discover that investing in children pays big dividends for schools, safer streets, and happier communities. Surveys in Washington State reported that over 40% of children placed in foster care were born to mothers who abused alcohol or drugs during pregnancy. Drug-exposed children may now constitute a majority of all children in foster care. From the book, Nobody's Children, author Elizabeth Barthollet, Beacon Press, 1999. Every year, over 2,000 babies are born to Minnesota mothers who are not high school graduates. The average IQ of a fetal alcohol child is 65. Because there is no placental barrier to alcohol, if the mother has six beers, the baby has six beers. Cocaine and crack cocaine also have long-lasting effects on the children born to drug-using mothers. The fetus cannot break the drug down, and babies are often born premature. The good news is that we have great technology and the ability to keep preemies alive today, where we couldn't 20 years ago. The bad news is that it can cost $2,000 or $3,000 per day to keep the child alive. For over 20 years, a substantial percentage of inner-city childbirths have been either fetal alcohol or crack cocaine positive. Quote, in all likelihood, A major cause of America's high infant mortality stems from the millions of low-income adults without health insurance. Effective prenatal care, universally available in all other industrialized countries, negates most preventable infant mortality. We do not. End of quote. From the book Nation Out of Step, author David Strand. More than half of poor working parents do not get any paid sick leave, personal leave, vacation, maternity, or paternity leave from their employers. Unlike the rest of the industrialized world, there is no federal mandate in the U.S. for employers to provide them. Call to action. Research a children's issue that is important to you. Find and connect with an interested reporter in your community with the intention of raising public awareness about children's issues. Become more knowledgeable than the reporter and make it your intention to help educate him or her about the issues you are studying. Do not concern yourself with immediate results. We are in this for the long haul.